19. If there's a common element in here today, well, there's probably lots of common elements. We're all breathing. We're all glad for the move of the Holy Ghost. But the power of suggestion is real strong. If you live in town and you're on city water, there's not a concern when the power goes out. You still turn your faucet on and get a glass of water. But if you're on a well system and you don't have backup power, the power goes off, your pump goes off. And it's amazing how you get thirsty when there is no water available. And if there's a common theme or a common element here today, it would be, I'm sure, thirst. And just because I said it, you're probably feeling thirsty. That's the power of suggestion. But I want to turn to John 19, verse 28, and have us read together here a description in part of what the Lord was experiencing when he was paying the price for our salvation. He went through this. He really did. It's something that he experienced, and more than just a common element. Dehydration was one of the factors of death in crucifixion. Asphyxiation is probably what hastened it on, but dehydration, along with all the other accompanying health concerns that dehydration produces, was what was happening here, because this had been going on for 6 hours now. So let's read. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. A number of elements here that are very powerful. The accomplishment that he made, and he was able to say, it is finished. And then the scripture being fulfilled to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T that we oftentimes say in terms of trying to look at the total fulfillment of it. In order that this prophecy would be fulfilled, he declared, I thirst. But that's what I want to bring to your attention for a short while here this morning, is the Lord's thirst, his desire, his need. And you are very much a part of what he was seeing and what he was feeling on that cross. You can be seated. Thirst is something that we see in Scripture quite readily, regularly. Hagar, it's interesting that just one experienced thirst. Well, of course, her son Ishmael, part of that picture as well, but just one, and the Lord provided a well. And then a whole nation, Israel out in the wilderness, and Moses striking the rock, and water gushing forth. And the second time that circumstance came about, he was supposed to speak to the rock, but he smote it, I suppose, in his lack of patience, his stressful situation with rebellious people that he was trying to lead, caused him to strike again with his staff. Water came forth, but there was a price he paid for that, and we know he was not allowed to enter the promised land. I look at that and I think, wow, that's pretty severe. That's pretty harsh in some ways. But that underscores for us how valuable and how important the Lord views obedience to his command. Amen. Sister Sharon taught a great lesson today on Noah and emphasized he did all that the Lord commanded. He didn't leave any point out. You think about that ark, there's a lot of water, a lot of water that they could drink, but they had to carry, no doubt, a resource of water on the ark because the water that they floated it on was contaminated. And kind of like the ancient mariner, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink, and because it was contaminated. But the aspect there of obeying the word of God is so important. So when we hear Mary, or we didn't hear her, we read it in the word of God, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now the circumstances there was a wedding, a celebration. And there was a great crowd gathered. There were many events and traditions that were being fulfilled for the happy couple. And unfortunately, in the process of the feasting and so on, they ran out of wine. Now, there's no indication that it was intoxicating wine, but we know the Lord was there to meet the need. And Mary gave those instructions to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. So there were 6 water pots there that contained, according to one authority, 9 gallons each. Quickly do the math, 54 gallons. Imagine a 55-gallon drum. Those are pretty common in our circumstances. They filled the water pots. Because the Lord told him to. Amen. Fill those water pots. God likes to fill things, doesn't he? Amen. Praise God. I often will think of Gideon and his fleece and the dew on the ground, the fleece dry, the dry ground and the fleece wet. And he was able to wring out of that fleece a bowl full. Why a bowl full? A few drops would have been convincing enough. But a full bowl of water he got out of that fleece. Because God likes to fill. Amen. Thank God. And so those empty vessels that normally contain what the beverage was for the celebration were empty. Just like that widow gathered empty vessels. And they were all filled with the oil that she needed in order to sell and pay off her debts so she didn't lose her sons as servants. And as long as there was an empty vessel, the oil lasted. And then they ran out. There were jars here and containers there and buckets if they had them, you know, just all over the place. And then when they ran out of vessels, the oil stopped flowing. I pray, God, let there be empty vessels that we see coming into our church and the oil of the Holy Ghost continue to be poured out. Praise God. If they can receive it in Vietnam and in Berlin and Nicaragua and Brazil, thank God they can receive it right here in Sterling. And we've seen them receive it again and again. And thank the Lord, there can be that common element of thirst for the Lord to do his work. He told them, fill the water pots. And so they did. They stood there waiting for further instructions. Draw out now. We just poured water in. We draw out. It's just going to be water. But the Lord, who knows no time constraints, accelerated the normal time frame and process, and brought about the results. Praise God. And the situation normally is that they serve the good, and then when everybody has pretty much well had their fill, some of the lesser quality is brought out because there's only going to be a few who want another cupful and so on, and so they'll give them something that's not quite what the first tier or the first level of quality was. So man was expecting things to turn out good, worse, and worst. That's the way it worked. It's just a downhill situation there, but I'm so thankful we serve a God who gives good and better and best. Hallelujah. Thank God. It just keeps getting that way. It just keeps moving in that direction. It just keeps being fulfilled for the Lord to provide. And I'm so thankful His word lets us know with joy, you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. Thank God that there is that power that He provides. Amen. And so the woman at the well had to understand that there was one who would give her water to drink that would be living water. Give me to drink, the Lord asked her. How is it that you ask me? You're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, I'm a woman. You're very unusual for you to even talk to me. If you knew who it was that was talking to you, you would ask him. And he would give you living water. Huh? How can you? You don't have anything to draw with. You don't have any container. The water that I give, the Lord said. And her interest began to rise even more. Amen. How do you have that living water? How is that going to work? How is that going to be fulfilled? Praise God. I'm glad the Lord was able to give even more and help her to understand the water that I give, you'll never thirst. The water that's here, you drink it, you're going to thirst. But the water that I give will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. Thank the Lord that there would be that revelation, there would be that understanding, there would be that thirst, the thirst that she would have of understanding and desiring more of the things of God. And she was so excited about what happened, so excited about what was taking place in the exchange that she had with Jesus of Nazareth. She went into the city and said, come see a man. Come, look, listen to him. Come and talk to him. He told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She wasn't offended. She wasn't upset. She wasn't mad. No, she was thrilled that she had the opportunity to talk to the Messiah about wells of living water. Praise God. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which he testified, he told me all that ever I did. Jesus stayed there for 2 more days. I'm sure the disciples were less than thrilled about that. They wanted to go through Samaria. They didn't want to stop. Bad enough, they had to go to the store to get something to eat and come back and find Jesus talking to a woman at the well. But Jesus had his purposes, and thank God it included souls. Thank God he stopped for you and I. Thank God he did a work for you and me. And the work that he did, praise God, helped us to believe, helped us to receive, praise God. Amen. And the men testified, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves. You can get your own experience. You can have your own time with the Lord. You can have your own infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And I'm thankful that power is available in the Lord. Now, I believe that there were seeds that were sown. The word that was spoken caused the revival to break out in Acts chapter 8. And the Bible tells us about miracles and deliverance and healing and the power of God casting out devils. Thank God. And the Bible says there was great joy in that city. I'm thankful that that's what happens when the Lord takes over, when the Lord comes with his power, when the Lord reveals his strength, there's great joy. It's not a burden. It's not a hardship. It's not difficult. It's not grievous. It's not something that we regret. Thank God. I'm glad God got a hold of my life. I'm glad God brought a change to my heart. Hallelujah. I'm glad I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, just like they were in Samaria. I'm glad the Holy Ghost was poured out. Hallelujah. When they laid hands on me and I began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Oh, it doesn't say they spoke in tongues. Well, Simon got his money bag out and was willing to part with some of that precious cash that he extorted from somebody and pay them for the power. For when he laid his hands on someone, they'd receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, it was more than just a nod. It was more than just a raised hand. It was more than just a thrill down the spine. Thank God there was something supernatural that happened. And consistency in the Word of God lets us know the power of God was poured out and they received the Holy Ghost just like the others did. Amen. Thank God that the Lord shows His power in that regard. If any man thirst... The Lord cried out from the cross like any man who thirsted. But he gave this invitation in John chapter 7. He helped people to understand it doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what has been in your past. It doesn't matter what tricks of the enemy you have fallen for, what deception has come your way. If you're thirsty, come unto me and drink. Praise God. He didn't have a cooler of water. I'll make you thirsty. Didn't have any of these in a cooler. Wasn't running an espresso stand. I'll take a pink drink, please, a venti. Oh, dear Lord. No, he wasn't doing that. But he promised, out of his belly or innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for that Jesus was not yet glorified. But, oh, thank God, that day was to come. It was to happen. Hallelujah. It was going to be fulfilled because God loves to fulfill His word. He gives the promise, and it doesn't just float around out there somewhere and lost in all of antiquity. Thank God it becomes powerful. It becomes real. It changes people. It brings them fulfillment because God loves to fulfill His word. Believing, as the Scripture has said, is the key to receiving what God has for us. I know that we can believe like a church says. We can believe like Grandpa says. We can believe like any other philosophy or idea. But when I believe like the Scripture says, hallelujah, the Scripture can be fulfilled. The power of God can be displayed. The Lord will show the fulfillment of His word. And thank God it happens as the Scripture has said. Amen. I'm thankful that living water is the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God satisfies our thirst. Amen. Paul wrote it in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. For by the Spirit, by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, it doesn't matter. Whether we be bond or free, it doesn't matter. We've all been made to drink into one Spirit. Praise God. Why did he use that terminology? Why did he use that word picture? Drinking of the Spirit. Because the Lord said it that way. Praise God. And the evidence of the Spirit comes through your mouth when you begin to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Thank God that the power of the Lord is there. And the promise is you'll never thirst. There are 9 blessings that are mentioned in Matthew 5, 9 of them. One of them says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Now, how is that a blessing? Hunger and thirst. Your stomach growls. Your mouth is dry. You're feeling like, I've got to have a drink of water. I need to have a bite to eat. Hunger and thirst, that's a blessing? Well, The Lord narrowed it down. The Lord provided a target. The Lord zeroed in. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. In other words, after him. After the things of God. Amen. Too much hunger and thirsting after things that don't satisfy, that don't fulfill, that don't bring about the results that we need to have. But thank God, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, the Lord went on, they shall be filled. See? Because God likes to fill. Amen. Amen. He doesn't just tease. It's not a carrot on a stick. It's something that's powerful. It's something that's real. It's something that's good. Amen. Hunger and thirst are very basic. We all experience it. We all know what it's like. And thank God, the promise is it shall be satisfied. Now, in the Old Testament, there are passages like Isaiah 49 and 10. And this has reference to the Messiah and the fulfillment of what he is going to do. Isaiah 49 and 10, they shall not hunger nor thirst. What? That's what the Lord will fulfill. Neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Oh, praise God. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. Glory to God. I'm thankful that that's how the Lord would fulfill his word. I am the living bread. He said. Notice how the Lord emphasizes life so much. Living water, living bread. I am come that they might have life and that more abundantly. We don't have to try to find fulfillment in the things of this world and the direction that the devil, the enemy of our soul, would try to take us. But, oh, I'm thankful that the Lord declared, and this is important, John 6 and 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. What? Amazing. Never hunger, never thirst, because he fills, he satisfies, he brings about the fulfillment of his promise. Praise God. In Revelation 7 and 16, lets us know it's going to continue. It's going to happen. It's going to be fulfilled. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. That's the fulfillment that is made from Isaiah 49 and 10. The Lord saying, it's going to happen. Praise God. In verse 17 of Revelation 7, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Oh, thank God. That fulfillment is coming. It's going to happen. Hallelujah. The Lord gives us the earnest of our inheritance. He puts a seal of redemption upon us when we receive the Holy Ghost. And thank God, it is going to be fulfilled. It is going to happen. Hallelujah. He will quench that thirst. And the promise is there. It will be fulfilled with the springs of water, the well of living water, rivers of living water. Hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord is able to fulfill, and we can come back to him again and again and know the blessings that are there. Thank God. But now, let's remember a man hanging on the cross, identifying with all who had ever thirsted. I thirst. And he would hunger. He would experience that need. He would weep. He would bleed. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Very much experiencing what you feel from time to time. Always knowing what you're going through. And thank God, being able to step in and minister to the needs that you have. Thank the Lord that as man, he experienced all the things that we go through, but as God, he gave the promise of the living water in the Spirit. Hallelujah. As man, he died on the cross and was buried in a tomb, but as God, he came forth victorious over death and hell and the grave. Praise God. And he fulfills the promises of the Word of God. But let me expand that two-word statement, I thirst. H2O, water, whatever we, however we want to say it, he was thirsty. They offered him something that wasn't water because the prophecy was being fulfilled. Psalm 69 and 21, they gave me also gall for my meal, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. See, that's what they were doing, that to fulfill Scripture. And that's what we read. Everything was accomplished, but to fulfill Scripture, he said, I thirst. That had to be fulfilled. God is so committed to his Word. God is so desirous of it being fulfilled to the proverbial dotting of the I, crossing of the T, that he suffered. He suffered intense pain and desired that the Word of God be fulfilled. Now, his divine desire, his divine thirst was for souls. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save the lost. And thank God that he completed that work. Amen. Thank God he thirsted for a relationship with you and me and brought about the fulfillment of it. Praise God. We believe as the Scripture has said, and it's fulfilled. The price of salvation was paid, even at so great a cost. Not silver and gold, not things that can be corrupted, but with the precious blood. The precious blood. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God he fulfilled it in suffering, and he is anxious to fulfill it in celebration. Hallelujah. When we get filled with the Holy Ghost and know his blessings in such a powerful way. But he thirsted, and he thirsted because he wants us to know his power and his goodness. He reaches for our hearts. He calls us out of darkness. We've got to respond and take the steps that he will lead us into his presence and away from the darkness that the devil wants to keep you captive in. You know, I think the devil mocks about how he can change people. We're excited about what the Holy Ghost does to change people. And we can say, he changed me. He changed my circumstances. He changed my situations. He changed my life. And the devil laughs and says, I can change people too. I can bring a change to them that is irreversible. And we know that change is totally negative. That change is darkness. That change is bondage. That change is addiction. That change is totally negative. But oh, I'm thankful God is able to bring about a change. Hallelujah. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Thank God that we can know the power of his blessing to do a work in our lives, and we can respond to what his word says. Like a deer that pants after the water, so my soul thirsts for you, God. Hallelujah. Thank God we can drink from that fountain. We can drink again and again because he is the fountain of living water. But there was a mistake that the people of Israel made in Jeremiah 2 and 13. The Lord brought an indictment against them saying, my people have committed two evils. Well, there's obviously more than two, but the Lord was wanting to show what was happening here. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living water. Turned away for something that wouldn't satisfy. Turned away to seek after something to quench their thirst that had no power to do so. They've forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And they've hewed to themselves cisterns. Out of rock. That's what hewing means. You know, they're carving it out of rock, hollowing it out. But there's cracks. There's holes. And no matter how they try to fill it up, You know, those servants filling up those six water pots. They eventually came up to the top. These people are so busy trying to fill up their cisterns, it's draining out. But no matter how quickly they do it, no matter how often, drains out. A cistern full of holes and not able to bring about the satisfaction. What a description of the difficulty that man finds himself in and not able to find the satisfaction that is needed. Like that rich man. You know, Luke 15 is beautiful and three things being found. The coin, the lost sheep, and then the lost son. Praise God. But chapter 16 has sorrow. Chapter 16 has a parable of the rich man. Lazarus with nothing in his life. The rich man passed him by every day coming out of the gates. Situations reversed. Death, the common denominator. And now, the rich man begging for Abraham to send Lazarus to dip his finger in water and come and put a few drops on his tongue. For I am tormented in these flames. Now, his rich lifestyle lasted for how many years? You know, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years? Let's be generous and say 50 years. 50 years he lived sumptuously, the Bible says. And partying and feasting and all of the things that money could buy, he enjoyed. But now, for the rest of eternity, he's tormented in the flames and couldn't find any relief. I don't want to make that kind of mistake. I don't want to forsake the fountain of living water. I know how good it is. I know how wonderful it is. I don't want the enemy to trick me and for me to go down the wrong path. No, I'm going to stay with this fountain of living water. How ridiculous to try to hew a cistern and try to fill it up and just to see it seep out and leak out and become contaminated. No, I want that fountain of living water. Praise God. Because he promised rain, the former and the latter rain. Hallelujah. Thank God that there's that power and there's that increase, there's that blessing that we receive from the Lord. Hosea 6:3 lets us know that former and latter rain is going to come. And we go on to Hosea 10:12, and the admonition is there for us to experience the Lord raining righteousness upon us. But the prerequisite is break up your fallow ground. Break up that which needs to be plowed up. Don't let your heart be hardened. Don't let yourself become jaded and just hardened to the move of God and the touch of God in your life and then going elsewhere to try to find something to satisfy your thirst. No, I'm going to be on the place where the Lord can do the work in my life. Praise God. And I seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness. Hallelujah. Thank God for that power. Thank God for that blessing. Thank God for the increase that he's able to give up. Amen. Job is one of those books that you just, you know, you can hardly wait till you get through. Like Leviticus, you're reading through your Bible in a year and 42 chapters of Job. But I've learned that there are some places that I've underlined before in other passages, and I'm looking for them. Like I look for "Be ye holy, for I am holy" in Leviticus. It's there four times, and I'm waiting to find them so I can underline them. And the fifth time is in 1 Peter. So I know God is calling me to holiness. God is calling me to a change. And so likewise, I look for passages in Job, and I found another one. I found another one that I'm going to be looking for. I found another one that says something to me. Not for something that I'm going to copy, not for something that I'm going to emulate, I'm going to imitate. No, no, no. Job 15:16 gives us a warning about something that you should not do. Because there's abomination and there's filth in the society that we're living in. Not we're not part of it. We're apart from it. Praise God. But this society likes to drink iniquity like water. And that's the passage that Job 15 and 16 says. Drinking iniquity like water. Like it's nothing. That this is going to satisfy me. This is what I need. I want some more. And iniquity after iniquity. And the Bible lets us know that evil men shall wax worse and worse. And the things of this world are going to be continually evil. And the description of Noah's day, same thing today, except magnified even more because of the modern devices, because of modern electronics and media and so on. Not just the imaginations of our heart being evil continually, but what is put before us, what is there in print, what is put in the internet. And there's a reason it's called the internet. A reason it's called the World Wide Web. Because a net and a web are used to catch you and trap you. So we've got to be free and make sure we're walking in the righteousness that God wants to rain down on us. Praise God. And that power of the Lord is there to strengthen us. So I'm not going to drink iniquity like water. No, He gives me living water. He gives me rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And He'll satisfy my thirst with His Spirit. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now I look out here. Everybody's got the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You might need to be refilled. In fact, I know you need to be refilled. And we're going to do that here in a few minutes. But let me challenge you. Let me challenge you. Remember the Lord talking about a cup of cold water? Remember Him saying that in Matthew 10? A cup of cold water. You're not going to lose your reward. Even if you give something that simple. You give something that easy. You don't even have to go to $5 to get it. You just give a cup of cold water. Praise God. And then He said in Matthew 25, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. What? When were you thirsty, Lord? We didn't see you thirsty. You've done it for the least. These little ones, you've done it to me. Okay, see, we rejoice in wells of salvation. With joy, we draw water out of it. Praise God. That's God's provision for you. That's God's power for you. That's God's promise for you. Don't let the devil cheat you out of that. Don't let the devil try to misdirect you or say it's not going to be fulfilled, say it's not going to happen. Oh, yes, it will. Praise God. We may go through a dry desert from time to time, but God is going to bring it to pass. Hallelujah. He's going to provide it. He's going to minister. There will be streams in the desert. Praise God. And the Lord is going to provide for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And oh, there's somebody else that needs to know. There's somebody else that needs to try it. There's somebody else that needs to experience it. There's somebody else that needs the Word, as the Scripture has said. Amen. Oh, they're trying to satisfy the thirst. It's there. They can't deny that thirst. They're desperately trying to find it. Just like those cisterns can hold no water. They keep trying. But oh, my. If they could hear your testimony, if they could have the Bible study from you, you can share the Word of God with them. Praise God. Hallelujah. And tell a thirsty world what a mighty Savior can do for them. Stand, please. I thirst. Any ordinary man, woman, would be able to make that statement, and we could all identify. Mm-hmm. We could all understand. We could all know. And We know sometimes it's just plain old water that's going to satisfy, not a Crystal Light or whatever you add to it. Not going to do it, just plain old water. And that's why the Lord uses water as a type of the Spirit. Whether it's rain or a well or a river, His Spirit. Praise God. Now I'm so thankful that we're able to drink. Jew or Gentile, bond or free. Those were the conditions that Paul worked under. Those were the aspects of society that he had to deal with. But he assured them, it doesn't matter. You all, by one Spirit, have been able to drink. And thank God that promise is still available, still happens. And we can drink again and again. And that's why I invite you to come. Because we're going to pray, we're going to worship, we're going to call upon God, we're going to give Him praise. Hallelujah. And we're going to drink again of that well. We're going to drink again. You know, defy the deception of the devil. You know, say, devil, you're a liar. Devil, you can't hold me back. There's a whole well that the Lord has for me. There's a whole river that the Lord has for me. Praise God. And I'm going to have my drink today. Praise God. I'm going to have what I need today. The Lord's going to fill today because that's what He likes to do. Can we worship Him again? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.